If you would, I invite you this evening to open up your Bible to Matthew chapter 10. A little word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, again, we are thankful for another day that you've given to us. Dear Lord, we're thankful as we come down to the close of a day. Lord, we still have strength and the ability to be in the house of God. Yes. Lord, we're thankful for the day that you've given to us, dear Lord, and the many, many blessings you bestow upon us. Lord, we're still thankful that in most part that we can look at that the United States seems to be a day that Sunday is set aside, dear Lord, still to worship God. Churches are open across the land. And dear Heavenly Father, there are still some people to go, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we're thankful that we're able to have a time to be able to be in the house of God. And we ask you to be with us, dear Lord, to have value of that time, dear Lord, to make profit of that time, dear Lord, to hear the word. As we often mention, dear Heavenly Father, we have an enemy that is sitting right there beside us, and he is extremely good at distracting our minds, distracting our thoughts, dear Lord, to just anything that he can. And Lord, we ask you to help us, dear Lord, to draw our minds and our hearts into the service tonight, dear Lord, that we may hear, that we may apply the word to our hearts and minds, that we may grow, we may strengthen, we be encouraged, dear Lord, whatever it might be that you see that we have need of, dear Lord. So we ask you to bless us tonight, and we ask you to anoint the word, anointment that I bring as you'd have us to. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Matthew chapter 10. And verse 38, we're only going to read here. And this is Jesus speaking here. And Jesus says, "He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Get your songbook out and turn to page 377. We're not going to sing this, but this is where my thought came from. About a week or so ago. And the title of this song is "Near My God to Thee." I had sent Linda a video of this song. I enjoy orchestras, instrumentals, a lot, and I'll try to listen to them, and I'll listen to a lot of them, and if I hear one, I'll try to listen to different ones, and especially when it's a lot of instrumentals. And this song was played, and I sent it to her, and later on I went and got the song book, and I looked at the song and read the words, and the very first verse grabbed my attention, and I felt the Lord give me a thought with this out of the very first verse. The very first verse reads, "Near my God to thee, nearer to thee." I believe as saints, our desire is to be nearer to God. Amen. We want to draw nearer to God. We want to feel the presence of God in our lives. We want to know that we're pleasing to him. We want to know we have his approval, his smile. But as I read that verse and the wonderful song, wonderful part of that verse, but the second part of this first verse is what caught my attention. We'll read the whole verse again. "Near my God to thee, near to thee, even though it be a cross." And that made me ponder and think about it. And we read here in Matthew what Jesus says in verse 38. He says, "He that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Many a times Jesus told us in different times, meeting with people and interacting with people, he said, "Pick up your cross and follow me." To be a Christian, to be a child of God, we have a cross to bear. We have something that's not pleasant sometimes, that's not convenient sometimes, and we have a cross. And my thought for this evening is just the very verse of this particular song, draw near to God even through the cross. Even in the cross, so to speak, is how we can draw near to God. James chapter 4 and verse 8, he says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You know, we think about drawing near to God. How do we draw near to God? And James goes on to the rest of that verse, as I read verse 4 and verse 8. He goes, draw near to God, and he will draw near to thee. And James goes on and finishes that verse. He says, cleanse your hands. Purify your heart, ye double-minded. There's some things that we need to do to get closer to God. We have a desire. There's a barrier. There's a wall between every soul and God that's not saved. There's a place that is fixed that we cannot draw near to God until we do, as James says here, to repent from sin, to cleanse our hands, to purify our hearts, to have a desire to serve God. And then that barrier is taken down, and then we can draw near to God. And we'll get into that little thought a little bit later. But I thank God, and there's many things, many ways when we look at drawing near to God. And we always kind of have the thought here about drawing near to God. When we think about drawing close to God, many times we think about different ways we can do that. And many times we think about through prayer. When I'm thinking about, now the thought is I'm trying to bring to us right now, thinking about how are ways we draw near to God. And the very first thing that comes up to most people is just what maybe I said there. I can get a song. I can sit down by myself and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus." And just have that melody resonate between us and God to draw near. We think about we can go to God in prayer. Get in their closet, shut the door, go to God in prayer. Get that time that we can pray to God. We can have that communion with God. That's a way we can draw near to God. We can draw near to God by reading His Word, studying His Word through Psalms, as we mentioned, through the church, through revivals, through camp meetings. One song in our songbook says, "Alone with God, the world forbidden." It takes some work to do that. It takes some effort to get alone with God and get the world out of our mind. Just as I prayed here a little bit ago, Lord, we have an enemy that he does, and there's not a one of us in here that doesn't recognize and haven't been troubled by those things, trying to draw near, trying to pray, trying to get alone with God. There is an enemy sitting even in the house of God, listening to the Word of God. He's sitting there, and he's doing everything he can to get you distracted. You know, even me preaching the message, sometimes he might try to distract me. He might try to disorient me sometimes, and even those things. He is not he's not shy to do anything. To get you to think about what's going to happen tomorrow, whatever. To get us to be distracted from drawing near to God. But Jesus says here, and the song says here, and that just impressed on me. Because as Christians, we understand it. We think the song, the title says, "Near to God, near my God to thee." Our desire, the song would have encouragement, "I want to draw near to God." But the songwriter, he writes there, "Near to God, but even in the cross." See, many times I mention those things. What is ways we can get closer to God? Through reading, through songs, through church, through revivals, through prayer, through meditation, through those things are kind of common places how we draw near to God. But the songwriter here, he says, and as we help me, Lord, to get my point across and help you to understand that thought, sometimes how God allows us to draw near is through the battles, through the trials, through the cross. Being in the cross is where we can draw near to God. Because that's when the battles are, that's when we sort of, what you might say, sharpen yourself. A little more diligent, a little more careful, a little more prayerful. When the battles are there, when situations are hard, Lord, I need to even draw closer to you now because of these battles, because of the cross that I'm going through, because of situations that I have, I need to draw close to you. See, it's easy to say, to sit and read a song, to sing a song, "Oh, how I love Jesus." Just to sit by yourself. I used to enjoy hearing about Sister Meyer and Sister Hawk. I believe they said in the evenings they'd call one another and they'd pick a song and they'd sing to each other over the phone. They'd just sing over the phone. I thought, what a blessing. And that is a blessing. That is a good thing. You can sit and do this. But let me tell you what. When we're in the cross,
That's when sometimes we need to draw nearer to God. And that's when sometimes it's more, if you allow me to use the word and the thought here, easier to draw near to God. More structured to draw near to God when in the heat of the battle things.
And Jesus emphasizes here in verse 38, he that taketh not his cross. We have a cross to bear. We don't get saved and everything just happy-go-lucky and we're going to live today and enjoy life and go through there. We have a cross to bear. We have an enemy that is doing everything he can to destroy us. We have a world out there that is going completely opposite direction of what our desires are in life. We have a family that has no thoughts or understanding of our desires and the things of Christ. We have a cross to bear. Jesus said one time, he made that comment to him, he says, except you're willing to forsake some things, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, except you're willing to forsake those things, you have no part with Christ. And the very last phrase of that thing, he says, even your own life also. That cross that we have to bear is forsaking even our families, forsaking my ways, my wants, my desires, and allowing God to be first in my life. Drawing closer to us. Jesus says, he that doesn't pick up his cross, he's not worthy of me. Many times our battles are the cross. Many times we can see the victories in the cross. You know, when Abraham, when God gave Abraham a son, Isaac, and Abraham, God told Abraham one time, he says, Abraham, I want you to offer Isaac back to me as a sacrifice. Now, we can go over there and read that story, and we've read it many times, and we don't see any conflict with Abraham. We don't see any debate or questioning. He just obeyed. But I can't imagine there wasn't some anxiety there. There wasn't some praying there. There wasn't some having any confidence there. And we know the next morning they got up, they went up to the mountain, and they got to a place, and Abraham told the gentlemen that were with him, he says, you stay here. And he said something that was very important. He says, me and the lad, we will go and worship and return. Now that was faith in God. And let me tell you what, he couldn't have got that way if he hadn't been near to God. That was a bad. That wasn't something easy. It hadn't have been easy. It couldn't have been easy for Abraham to do that. To take him up there, and he went up there, and then Isaac said, he said, Father, he says, the wood I see, the fire I see, but where's the sacrifice? And he told Isaac, he says, the Lord will provide us a sacrifice. And God, Abraham took Isaac, bound him up, put him on the altar, and he drew out his knife to kill Isaac, to sacrifice him on the altar, and the angel of the Lord stopped him before he ever did it. How much are we willing for God to let us to go through that we can draw closer to him? So as I said, it's easy sometimes. We sit here and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. God says, you know what? I want you to draw near to me. You want to draw near to me. I want you to draw near to me. You know what? I'm going to put you at the foot of the cross sometimes. I'm going to put you some places that are not going to be comfortable. I'm going to put you some trials and tests. Sometimes God wants to see just how close we desire to be near him. You know, as saints, from the very beginning of our salvation, when we came to Christ, and as Jesus said here in verse 38, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. And he goes on there in verse 39, and he says, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. That's tough. That's the cross. But Jesus says, for any of us who want to get saved, any of us that have a desire to get saved, we come to an altar of prayer and we repent from sin. There's one thing we have to understand. There's a cross we're going to have to bear.
We're going to have to pick that up. And Jesus tells us we're going to have to pick that up and we're going to have to go. And we have to come to that understanding of verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. That's a cross. But in those things, in those part of the cross, we can draw near to God. We can see God's face. We can see the glory of God, the blessings of God. He tells us to pick up the cross, as he did in Matthew 38 here. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, another couple verses here when Jesus trying to get in people to indicate to follow him. Luke chapter 9, verses picking up in verse 59. And Jesus said unto another, follow me. You know, a lot of people want to follow him. A lot of people want to be close to Christ.
In word.
What's that?
In word.
Yeah. One time Jesus told him, he says, you're only following me for the food. He says, you follow me for the food and the miracles, for the healing. He goes, I would rather you at least follow me for the miracles, but you're not following me for that. You're just following me for the food. And he asked people, he says, follow. A lot of people want to follow Christ. And we'll have some other examples here. A lot of people, I want to be around Christ. I want to be in his presence and things. And Jesus says there in 59, and he said to another, follow me. You want to be a disciple? You want to be close to me? Follow me. But there was something that was not with him wanting to do that. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Verse 60, and Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And we brought this scripture up many a times. I don't believe that this particular time there was a burial going on. No doubt a young man. He said, wait till my dad's gone is basically what he's saying. Yeah. Wait till they're gone and everything, and then I'm not submitted to them and subject to them. Wait till he's passed away, and then wait till something else later on in time, and then I'll follow you. I want to be near you, God. Well, okay, you got to be near me. Come follow me now. Yeah, but look at verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me do something first. But let me first go and bid them farewell which are at home. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looketh back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, there are a lot of people, they want to follow Christ, but they want to get the approval of the family first. Let me go back and tell my mom and my dad and my sisters, my brothers, my family. Let me tell them this is the direction I'm going to go. And sometimes many of us have faced that. And over my years, I've heard different testimonies of people, especially young people with parents that weren't saved and things like that. I had parents that weren't saved. When you first get saved, and you don't really even think about it until really after you get saved. But when you first get saved and you realize, I guess the devil jumps right on that bandwagon, what are you going to tell your mom and dad? Because they don't understand that. They don't know why you're going to church. They don't know why you're in revivals. They don't know why you've changed your life and living a different life than what you used to. They don't know why you've restricted yourself some things in the life and in the world. They don't understand those things. That's a cross. And when we surrender to Christ and we do those things that Christ wants us to do, and it's difficult, it's hard against this individual here, let me tell you what, when we do them, we can feel that closeness that God comes to us. I've been there many times. No doubt you've been there many a times. You've had to stand against your very own family for things of God. It wasn't easy on this fellow. But after it happened, God bless you. The closeness. See, Lord, I'd just rather sit and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. I know you do it. But I want you to be a light in the dark world, and it's going to be difficult for you sometimes. It's going to be hard on this fellow sometimes, but that's how I want you to. And when you stand faithful to that, that's when God says, I'll draw close to you. Sure. Always give this example, this time to me. Years ago, Brother Davis hadn't even gone yet. I don't believe he had gone yet, no. And the Lord, I had a message, and some of you may remember, I had a candle up here. And my thought was, that as we light a candle, and I think I had somebody turn all the lights out, and, you know, in a dark room, and in a room, if I light the candle right now, it wouldn't give off much light. But if I turn the lights out now, let me tell you what, that candle will be bright. And that's what God says. I want you to be a candle in this dark world. And you know, from time to time, and I had a candle lit here, and I took a fan, and I just waved it over the fan a little bit, and the flames flickered. And that's what the devil does. He's trying to get a light to go out, flickering it. And sometimes the fan from the enemy, now think spiritual with me now, sometimes that fan from the enemy can be a little more stressful than we can handle. And God says, you know what? And I put a board in front of that candle, and the devil can wait, and the devil stop. I'm not allowing you to give any more to him or her, whoever it might be, that candle. He can wave all he wants, but God put a barrier there to stop that.
Yes, thank the Lord.
But the thought was, I had no idea. I had been going through something that very day or the day before, I believe. I think it was the day before. And I had to take a stand. And it was tough. It was tough on this fellow. And when I lit that candle, and I remember standing here and I lit that candle, and you know how a candle is.
Yeah.
It's not a flame. It's not a fire. You know, we like fires where wood crackle and pop and snapping, and it's, you know, it's happy. A candle is very quiet. Very, very calm. And God just impressed on my mind. And he said to me, and then you all didn't even know it at the time, and God brought to me, he goes, that's how I seen you yesterday. As a light, it's not a strong light, it's not a forceful light, but I seen you stand true. Now, I couldn't have received that blessing from the Lord if I didn't go through that cross. See, I could have yielded to what was going on, and surrendered, and not that it was sin, it was nothing sinful, but it was my own person. I didn't want to involve myself at that particular time with that. It wasn't anything sinful. And I could have yielded to that, and I don't want to go into details, but I could have yielded to that, but I would have missed a blessing. I could have lit that candle that night, and God would have never said, done all of my lesson, and nothing. But God showed me something. He blessed my soul because I had to stand at the cross. I had to be at the cross to stand against the things of the world. Jesus says, here are these couple people. They came to him. I want to follow you, but my family has a strong pull on me. Jesus says in one type of verse of scripture, he says, those of your own household, they'll be your own folks. You know, the people I work with, they don't struggle with me much, if any. I don't even struggle with them. I don't even struggle with people down the store, Walmart, walking the streets. But our families, their hearts tie. They pull on us. They don't understand. And Jesus, as I said, except you're willing to forsake your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your children, and yea, your own life also, you're not willing to be a disciple of mine. Your entire life has to be put on second place, so to speak, to God. We read earlier in Matthew what he says there, and Matthew back there. And he says, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. These people, they wanted their life. I want to be nearer to you, Lord, but I want to do things my way. I want to have my life. But when we surrender our life, our desires, then God can be closer to us and bless us. If you're saved, you've already given up something. The day that you came to an altar of prayer,
You had to come to the foot of the cross.
You had to yield yourself to Christ. Jesus said in Matthew, except you pick up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. These people here in Luke, they said, let me bury my father first.
Jesus says, you're not worthy of being a disciple of mine. Let me go back and bid my family. Let me make sure all those things are okay at home before I get their approval.
No man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. When we come to the Lord, when we came to get saved and we bowed at an altar of prayer, the Bible even teaches us to count the cost. There is a cost of being saved. It doesn't have anything to do with finances. I don't have to write a check, so to speak, to get saved. There's not, but there is a cost that we surrender ourselves. Lord, I yield myself to you. From this day forward, from the time I ask the Lord to save my soul, knowing to the time he calls my soul out of this body, from this day forward, Lord, my life is surrendered to you and whatever it may be. That's being at the foot of the cross. And that isn't easy. That's not very, very comfortable. But God says, when you do that, you want to draw near to me? Even in the cross, that's when God says he can work with us. When we got saved, we had to give something up. We gave up self. We gave up life. Jesus said to take up our cross in his song, The Old Rugged Cross. In the verse in that old rugged cross, the symbol of suffering and shame. That's what the cross stood for. The Bible says it was a shame for any man to hang on a tree, and Jesus Christ suffered that shame to hang on a tree. And he suffered greatly. He suffered before he even came on the cross, and he did it willingly for you and I. He willingly went to Calvary. He willingly got beat for you and I. He willingly allowed them to nail him to the cross for you and I. He willingly suffered those things for us. You want to be my disciple? There's some suffering and there's some shame that you're going to have to put on this body. Another verse in that song says, it's shame and reproach gladly bear. I thank God I can sing that song with encouragement, only by the help of God. It's shame and reproach we gladly bear for Jesus Christ. Thank God that we can bear the name of Christ. We can suffer some little bit of things for the name of Christ compared to what he done, that we may be able to draw closer to God. When the rich young ruler came to Christ, you know the story, he wanted to be saved. And as I mentioned, when we came to Christ and get saved, we had to put everything on the altar. There was not one of us that came to an altar of prayer and reserved one thing that we knew of ourselves, we couldn't get victory. I've heard of people coming to an altar and praying, and they just can't get victory. And ministers may talk to them, what are you holding on to? You're holding on to something. Sometimes they would tell them, sometimes they wouldn't, and they would leave without the victory. Because they had that one thing they're holding on to. That rich young ruler came to Jesus Christ and he says, I want to be a follower of yours. I want to follow you, Christ. I want to be close to you. I want to be near you. I want to be a part of you. He's okay? And he gave him a list of things. He says, are you doing this, 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 this? He goes, I'm doing all those things from my youth up. He goes, you lack one thing. And if you'll cut that one thing loose, you can be a disciple of mine. You can follow me. You can draw close to me. And he couldn't. And he went away sorrowful. To draw near to God, or to have the blessings of God upon us. In order sometimes to draw near to God or to have God's blessing upon us, God may send you somewhere. Remember the story of Brother Jones told us during revival?
one of the times, when he was a young man, there was somebody in school that was, I don't know what you call him back in them days or whatever, but he definitely wasn't a Christian. Maybe in the gangs or whatever. And God impressed on him to give that man a tract, that young boy a tract. And he thought, Lord, anybody but him. It's easy to walk down and give my neighbor a tract. Here you go. We're having a revival. Or here's a tract. Here you go. It's easy. It's easy to give people things that are or easy to deal with. But he said he had to give it to him. And God, that was at the cross. He could have said no. He could have said, no, Lord, I just can't do that. God says, you want to be close to me? I'm going to have you get to some uncomfortable positions. Give him the track. And, you know, he went and gave him the track, and I don't remember the whole outcome at all, but he asked him some questions and all. But he said that uncomfortableness. If we have a desire, Lord, I want to draw near to you. Somebody, as I said in the beginning of my message, so many people think, well, the way I can draw near to God, I'll pray, I'll sing, I'll read songs, I'll read. And that's ways to get near to God. But God says, you know what? There's some times I'm going to have to be right at the foot of the cross if you really want to draw near to me. If you really want to feel the presence of God, I might have to send you somewhere. I might have to send you to testify. I might have to send you to your neighbor. You're down the street. I might have to send you somewhere. Something in our lives that may be inconvenience to us. See, we don't like to be inconvenienced at all. But sometimes God says, you know what? You're going to be inconvenienced. If you're going to be a disciple, and that could be a broad horizon of there, whatever it can be, and God says you're going to be inconvenienced. Whatever I don't have anything particular. I didn't have come up with an example, but that word, we know what that word inconvenience is. And God says, you want to draw close to me? We can say, Lord, I want to be close to you. I want to feel your presence. I want to feel your spirit. Okay, here's something I need you to do, Lord. I don't want to do that. I'd rather sing a song. Oh, how I love Jesus. God says, I know you would, but I need you to do this. It's a real inconvenience. It's a real uncomfortable situation. It's the cross, so to speak, that symbol of suffering and shame, the reproach. And every one of us in here that has done that before, we've done that. Every one of us recognize the blessing we received afterwards. A wonderful blessing. Something that was completely out of our safety zone. Brother Frank was always one. He used to tell us, he'd get up in the morning, he'd pray, Lord, let me talk to somebody today. And you know, Brother Frank, he didn't have to have any door. He opened doors up to talk. But he always told us about some of those things. Maybe we're not that easy. But God may ask us, you know what? And I've asked the Lord to help me with this sometimes. Sometimes, you know, sometimes opportunities present itself and they're quick. Yeah. And they slip. They're gone. If I would have just been a little more ready. Somebody mentioned something or today or whatever. I think Sister Ann was mentioning about that song. I was in Wendy's some months ago, a couple months or so ago. I'm standing in line, and the girl behind the counter, you could just tell she was just frazzled. I mean, she could just tell she was spent. And the person in front of them, they ordered, I don't know, all kind of crazy stuff, and she got them, and I could just tell. And I wasn't in a hurry at all. And when I stepped up there, she walked up. She said, you know, can I help you? And I forget what I even said. I said, hi, how you doing? I just sort of broke that. And I ordered something simple. I mean, I don't know what I ordered. I might have ordered a Frosty. I don't know what I ordered. And she goes, that's the easiest order I've had all day. And but anyway, I can see whatever I said to her, I said, hello, how you doing? And she just took her breath. And the Lord blessed me in a sense. I, you know,
We don't know, as Sister Ann mentioned, we don't know how we may affect people at our presence to some people. We can have a wrong attitude and affect people. We can have a good attitude or a pleasant attitude, attitude that can bless people. How are we living our lives? Are we at the foot of the cross? Are we looking for opportunities? Jesus gave a parable of the talents one time. You know, each and every one of us, we have greater abilities than others. And that parable of the talents, the one man had 5 talents, the one man had 2 talents, the one man had 1 talent. I sang the song the night it says, I cannot be idle. I said, Lord, help us. Help us not to be idle in our work for the Lord. Help us to look for an opportunity to be a blessing. Help us to look for an opportunity to share the word. Help us to look for something that can be an encouragement, something that can bring light to someone. And as we mentioned, as sometimes we may say something to someone, and that may be the only time we, and I believe this from all my heart and soul, sometimes we may say something to someone, and that may be the only time we'll ever deal or talk to that person again. But God can take that seed, I think as Brother Danny mentioned, or this evening, God can take that seed, and He can allow it to grow for something we. But if we restrict ourselves, well, I don't really want to put myself out there. I don't want to be inconvenienced. I don't want to get myself out of my own comfort zone. You know, those of us that work jobs that there's men, sometimes there's some opportunities to say some things to wicked people that can make an effect. They're all talking about things of the world, maybe using language that's not too colorful and things like that, and we may interject with something, the things of God. That's very uncomfortable sometimes to have to do that, but sometimes God says, I want you to be at the foot of the cross. I want you to do that. If you want to draw near to me, you want to feel my blessings by standing there. But these men that had talents, one had 5, one had 2, and one had 1. Let me tell you what, the one that had 5 talents, he definitely wasn't idle. He went out and worked and worked and worked, and when that master came back, he goes, Master, here are the 5 talents that you gave to me, and I've gone and worked, and I've received 5 more talents. The same way with the man with the 2 talents, but the one man with the 1 talent, he said, Lord, he said, I knew you were a difficult man, and I took the 1 talent and I hid it. I didn't write the scripture down, go over there in the scripture, but I believe that the master, he said, thou wicked and slothful servant. Well, I'd like to just sing, oh, how I love Jesus. I like to read the scriptures. I like to pray. That's how I like to draw close. God says, I need you to go over here and I need you to be at the foot of the cross. I need you to use your ability, whatever it may be. And you know what? That doesn't necessarily mean we have a particular ability that God can use. It may be, but it may not be. God just may take us out of our comfort zone. I need you to do this. And what a blessing comes behind those things. I cannot be idle. Jesus says go. Are we going? Are we going and trying to open opportunities up to be a blessing to God? Many times our lives need to be at the very cross, at the very foot of the cross where Jesus can bless us. When Jesus was nailed to the cross, his own disciples weren't there. They all scattered. We wish our families were here. We wish our friends were here. We wish when we tell people, I'm going to revival, I'm going to church, they would have a desire to go with us. But they don't. We have to go alone. Jesus went to the cross alone. Jesus suffered all alone. Oh, sure, his mother was there, maybe a couple of the saints were there, but the disciples, John or Peter and them, they followed from a distance. They didn't get close. If we're going to be at the foot of the cross, many, many times we're going to be by ourselves. We're going to have to follow Christ by ourselves. And even if we do have family, you have a husband and wife and children and other family members, brothers and sisters, and all, there's still a part of us that we have to live the cross ourselves.
I can't help you in a sense. I can help pray and I can help and encourage, you know. But you have to be at the foot of the cross yourself. I have to be at the foot of the cross myself in order to receive the blessing from the Lord. Let's go to one more verse of Scripture, Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34 and verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. We can get afflicted. As saints, we can be afflicted. Now, I'm not talking about physical necessarily, but in a spiritual way. He says, draw near to God. In our very weakest times, I read verse 19 and I wonder, actually I want to go back, I want to read verse 17 through 19. Let's look at verse 17. The righteous cry and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their trouble. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Verse 17 says, the righteous cry, and God hears. God, I want to draw near to you. And in our very weakest time, God says, those times, we can draw near to God in a broken heart. You know, God knows when you're heavy. God knows when you're burdened. God knows when you're going through difficult times. And in all those times, you still stay close to God. You still keep following God. And some of those difficult times may not necessarily be of ourselves, but just conflict that we face in the world. Even with young people, sometimes peer pressure can be tough and those things. But Lord, I'm going to keep looking to you. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on you. I'm going to keep trusting in you. Even through all these difficult times, my heart may be broken and trodden down and all, and those things, but God says, I'll be with you. I'll draw closer to you. You know, from time to time, our children get hurt. When our children were small, your grandchildren, they fall. They run, young, they run, they trip and fall. They get hurt, they do whatever. We cater to them instantly. Our hearts are there. And when our hearts are broken, and sometimes our hearts are broken because we're living for God, because we pray for our loved ones, because we suffer rejection from our loved ones sometimes, because we suffer some of those things, God says, I'll draw closer to you because you're my child. It's easy to sit on the outsides and just saying, oh, how I love Jesus. But God says, when you get right in the heat of the battle, right at the foot of the cross, and I can give other scriptures and verses and thoughts to where when those people in the Bible, they were there, they were in the very heat of the battle, and that's when God came and delivered them. When the children of Israel were at the Red Sea, God told Moses, he said, tell them to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's when God came in. I read to you a couple weeks ago with Elijah, and the young man said to him, he goes, what are we going to do? They're all really surrounded. He says, Lord, open the young man's eyes. God drew close to him. Sometimes in the battle, sometimes in the cross, sometimes when we draw near to the cross, that's when we can draw near to God. Help us, Lord, that we may be a blessing. May the Lord bless you. If you'd like to get a songbook and stand, turn to page 270. sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Might be seated for just